Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You might want to take out your bulletin for the gospel lesson for this morning. That's the one that translation that's written there is called the ESV, the English Standard Version. But someone from our congregation has been using a translation called the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. And I won't mention her name, but she kind of likes it, and Faith wanted me to make sure that I enjoyed it too. So I'm going to read our gospel lesson this morning from this new translation that I have. The Gospel of Matthew, you can follow along, see what different translators do with the words. The Gospel of Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is our text. One of the endearing qualities about Jesus in his public ministry, and that no matter where he went and no matter what people he were with, he was always willing and able to help them when they had desperate needs. Throughout his public ministry, he would comfort those people who struggled both physically and spiritually. When he did those miracles, he gave a great demonstration to the people of how much he loved them, how much he cared about them, and how concerned he was as they suffered with the consequences of their sins. As we read through the gospel, we see miracle after miracle. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, demons are cast out, and even the dead are raised. He didn't even have to be physically present to perform one of his, to accomplish one of his miracles. The woman in our text, her daughter was not present with her, but yet at Jesus' word, that daughter was healed immediately. The demon was cast out. Now, Jesus never went out of his way to show his miraculous powers, but he was always ready and willing to answer those who cried to help for him, to relieve them of their physical and spiritual sufferings. But then comes today's gospel. A mother comes to Jesus. She's pleading for her daughter's health. And I don't know about you, but it's a surprise to me the response that Jesus gives to her. He almost ignores her. He doesn't at first have a word to say to her. And if that wasn't bad enough, his disciples are fed up with her, and they're encouraging Jesus, "Listen, get rid of this lady. She's driving us crazy. She's embarrassing us. You need to tell her to just go away." Not much comfort in that gospel lesson, is there? You ever put yourself in that woman's place? How would you feel if you were her? Would you get upset? Would you be angry? Certainly we would be frustrated. Things weren't going the way she hoped they would go. I'm sure we all have felt that way at one time or another. We make plans, detailed plans, but things keep happening and our plans just don't work out the way we had hoped. And we have our hopes and dreams, but somehow life intervenes and those hopes and dreams never become reality for us. Or we pray, and we pray, but no answer seems to come. We don't understand, and we want to know why. When those times come, then it's good to return to our Bibles and to this gospel lesson specifically, and to remember God's words and promises to us in His Word. He says to us, I want you to always remember this, that my ways are not always your ways. And He says, I want you to remember that I am at work in all things, working all those things together for your good. And I want you to remember that I am going to do all things well for you. Now that's a message that is of vital importance to our faith. Those words remind us that we're not really in control of our lives, but God is. He is in control not only of my life, but He is in control of all things. And this God who is in control of all things tells me that He loves me. And He assures me that there is nothing in this life that can ever separate us from His love. Those truths are foundational to our faith and to our prayers. Our faith assures us that the one we cry out to is in truth the Almighty God. And He has promised us that He can and will do all things well for us. Faith assures us that when we ask, our Lord, our God, our Savior has the power to answer, and He has the love to answer at the best time and in the best way for us. The Canaanite woman was shouting after Him. She had that kind of faith. That Canaanite woman knew, and she believed, that Jesus was the promised Messiah sent from God. She knew and believed that He was the Almighty God in the flesh. She knew and believed that He could do all things, and that He would do all things well for her. Yet He doesn't seem to listen. In fact, if you look at the texts, He's almost ignoring her. How frustrating that must have been. To be at the side of the only one who was able to do anything for her seems not to be even willing to listen to her. What do you do in a situation like that? Do you hang your head and turn around and walk away? But if that's what we do, then that's saying that our faith is nothing. That faith is nothing but a sham. That there's no power or hope or comfort in our faith. You hear that a lot today. What good is a God who won't answer you when you cry out to Him for help? What do you do when you have a God who can't take care of your problems? What do you do with a God who won't answer even the simplest of prayers. What do you do when it's, you have a God who doesn't even seem to be there when we need him? And so when people get into that kind of situation, so many conclude, if he doesn't respond, if he doesn't hear, it's because he can't. And maybe it's because he doesn't even love us. And maybe he doesn't even know we exist. And maybe there isn't even a God at all. But we know that's not true. There is a God. There is one true God, and he is the Lord. And he has created all things in heaven and on earth. And he rules all things in heaven and on earth for the good of all people. And in his ruling of this world, he does all things well for us. He causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall and the crops to grow. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the hungry. He gives us food for our souls. And he gave us his son to save us from the eternal consequences of our sins. That's the God, that's the Lord whom this Canaanite woman prayed to that day. Listen to the very title she used when she called to him. Lord, she said, Son of David. Now, true, the title Lord could be just a title that we would use like, oh, sir, can you help me? But you have to link that word with the rest of what she said. She said, Lord, Son of David. And those words tell us that she saw Jesus as the promised Messiah. That she knew and believed who Jesus was. She knew and believed that he was the promised Savior sent from God. And she knew that, even though she wasn't a Jew. She had saving faith in the one true God. And in the promised Messiah that he sent to save all people. And she believed that this Messiah would help her in her need. But again, oh, the frustration. He doesn't seem to care. Doesn't even seem to want to listen. But here's where her faith steps in. Her faith still assures us that God is what he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. Yes, some at this point will give up and walk away. But what happens to this Canaanite woman? She knew who Jesus was. She believed who Jesus was. She trusted his love and his mercy, even though she was a Gentile. That means she was not one of the chosen people. She was from the land of Canaan. The Jews saw those people as unclean. She was a descendant of one of those tribes that God had said the Israelites were to clean out of the promised land. Yet this Gentile woman would not be silenced. She would not become discouraged. She was convinced in her faith that Jesus would do what she asked. She knew she had no right to ask, no reason to expect mercy. So how then could she dare to ask? Key word there is, in the gospel, is mercy. That's the answer. No one can ask God on the basis of what we think we deserve. We approach God on the grounds of mercy. And that's exactly what this Gentile woman did. Lord, she prayed, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's the only way any of us can stand before God. And when we stand for him begging for mercy, we will find him to be a merciful God. That was her plea. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She was asking for something that was completely undeserved. She didn't ask for riches. She only wanted crumbs that would fall from the master's table. But she knew that even those crumbs would be enough for her. And because we know God's mercy just as she did, we too will keep asking. Asking that the Lord hear our prayers and petitions, and that he will answer them for us at the right time and in the best way possible for us. You know the end of the story. Her request was granted. Her faith was confirmed. Jesus declares, "You have a great faith." And he does what is answered. But his ask of him, her daughter is healed immediately. Can we take this lesson and make it our own? St. Paul tells us this: "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" How merciful is our God? The cross answers that question for you. He takes upon his power, gives to his son all of the sins of the world, and gives us forgiveness. And if God is willing to go to such great lengths to take care of your spiritual needs, he's not going to be miserly about our physical needs. Yes, at times he may sound silent, but we need to continue to bring our needs and prayers and petitions before his throne of grace and not doubt. Know and believe he is listening. He hears our prayers, and when it is the right time and when it is best for us, he will answer them in the best way possible for us. Today we begin a new chapter in the life of our congregation. We need to begin the search for our next shepherd. As we journey through this process, remember this Canaanite woman. Let us be people of prayer, that we pray about this issue without ceasing, as Paul says. And when we pray, we know and believe that our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Good Shepherd is listening to every one of our prayers. And when you pray, believe that he will one day answer our prayers. And when he answers that prayer, it will be at the best time for us, and it will be the best answer for us. I'm confident that God is already at work in this process. I believe that he is already preparing the heart of someone somewhere who will answer our call to be our next shepherd. And I believe that one day, when all things are ready, God will answer that prayer for us, and he will send us our next shepherd. But until that day, pray. Pray without ceasing. And when you pray, believe and trust that the God who loves us is going to do all things well for us. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We make confession of our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin.